Well, good morning. God bless you. It's a joy to be with you and to teach God's Word this morning. What I wanted to do, Earl taught last week, and he was teaching on a verse that has been misunderstood and mistranslated, and the subject was Jesus Christ is the Son of God, not God Himself. And considering who Christ is from the Gospels is what I would like to continue on. I didn't get to John, but I got to all three other Gospels. And so what this teaching is meant to do is to just give us a scope of what the Gospels say, who Jesus Christ is. So I'd like to start in Matthew 1. And I think we'll just, where was I going to start?
Matthew 1.
Yeah, Matthew 1, and I'm in Luke. That's the reason why I'm questioning my own self here. So it's good to have a scope of any topic, right? And that's what this is meant to be today. And so many times people, they read a verse in God's Word, and then they just take that verse and run with it. And they don't consider all the other scriptures pertaining to the same subject. Because if it's God's Word, it has to fit like a hand fits in a glove, right? It has to fit. If it's really, really God's Word, then there cannot be contradictions in it. And so Matthew 1:23. In verse 20 it says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, God. And she shall bring forth a son, this Mary, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." So this is a verse, and Emmanuel it's spelled differently. This comes from Isaiah, and we'll look at it a little bit later. But Emmanuel is a Hebrew name, and it means God is with us. It's used by those that say Jesus Christ is God. It is, however, important to consider all the verses, as I just said, relating to any topic, and certainly this one. And it is helpful to have a broader scope. And so that's what we're going to do. We'll be looking at the verses in Matthew through Luke. And interestingly enough, all of those verses, I went through all of those, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and this is the only verse that sticks out in all three of those Gospels. So we're going to look at all the other verses, okay? As many as we can. So look at Matthew 2, verse 13. And it says, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt." Boy, this angel of the Lord was busy. "And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my" what?
son.
Out of Egypt have I called my son. Look at Matthew 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved what?
Son,
in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's what God said. So Matthew 4, look at Matthew 4 for a second. Then Jesus, verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of who?
The devil.
And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God. Did the devil know who he was?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely he did. And did he say, If thou be God?
No.
No, he did not. He said, If thou be the Son of God. And he says it more than once here. Look at verse 6. And he said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, etc. So the adversary certainly knew who he was. Look at Matthew 8. Verse 28. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gerasenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man may pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Thou what?
Son of God.
Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? They certainly knew who he was, right? So those were the two that were possessed of devils, and yet they still knew who he was. Look at Matthew 10, verse 33. And we're just going to go at a kind of a fast clip here because I want to get through, just paint a picture of the scope and of what the Gospels say. Because it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what a preacher says. It doesn't matter what a denomination says. It matters what God's Word says, right? So Matthew 10, verse 33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is where?
In heaven.
So there are many references of Jesus Christ calling God his Father. Many. There's just so many. Matthew 11, verse 25, I'm going to go to. And it says, At that time Jesus answers and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. And so what was I after there? That was... All things are delivered unto me of my what?
Father.
How many things?
All.
You could pretty much say everything that Jesus Christ received, he got from his Father, right? All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So, you know, there are many references like that too in the Gospels. I'm just going to cover that one. Verse 4, Matthew 14, 28, we're going to go to. This one's an interesting one. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. That took some believing. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was what?
Afraid.
And began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little believing, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. The disciples. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look at Matthew 16, 13. This one's fun too. Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I mean, how clear are all of these verses? Aren't they wonderful? They're wonderful. So we saw the disciples said it. We saw God saying it. We saw Angel Gabriel saying it. We saw the disciples saying it. We saw the adversary saying it. The devil spirit saying it. Now Peter here is saying it clear as day. So look at look at Matthew 19. And I tried to pick. I might have missed one, but I didn't miss many. I mean, it's just fun to see them. You know, look at Matthew 19, 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Jesus Christ, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he, Jesus Christ, said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is who?
God.
God. Wow. That's a pretty neat statement. You know, if Jesus Christ doesn't want to be called good, don't call me good. Right? My goodness. Wow, that's just tremendous. I love that verse. How about Matthew 20? We got better keep going here. Matthew 20, 23. And he said unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. Well, whose is it to give? God's. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. It's God's to give. Jesus Christ said, I don't have any, it's not my assignment. Look at verse 22, Matthew 22, 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He said unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool.' If David then called him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. You know, the Lord, there's two Lords in this verse. The Lord, God, said to my Lord, "Sit thou on my right hand." Right? That's exactly what happened. God told Jesus Christ to sit on his right hand. And that's, as we know Ephesians, that's what happened. When God raised him from the dead, he sat where God told him to sit. Not a bad place. Matthew 23:8. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And all ye are what?
Brethren.
And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. How clear is that? Christ said, one is your master, and we're your brethren, and one is your Father in heaven. Let's read the rest of that. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is the greatest among you shall be your servant. And that's, Christ certainly was that, wasn't he? And we can endeavor to be that too. Matthew 24:36. This is really fun. I love this one. Matthew 24, verse 36. Well, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. But it's talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's talking about... it's talking about, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And there is another place where Christ is more, in one of the other Gospels, it talks more about that again, that he doesn't know, that Christ doesn't know. So only God knows. But it'll be a great day. So Matthew 25. Let's skip that one. Look at Matthew 27:43. I was going to say Matthew 25:33 and 34 in case you want to look at it later. Matthew 27:43. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. You know, they were saying that Jesus Christ said he was the Son of God. And so there's, you know, this is, you know, towards the end of his life, toward, you know, right near the crucifixion here. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. And look at verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. Boy, we're building up a lot of evidence, aren't we? Look at Mark 1. Maybe Mark will have something else in store for us, but I doubt it. Mark 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Boy, how to open a gospel. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Look at verse 11. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Isn't this fun? Mark 3. Mark 3, verse 11. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. And he straitly charged them that they should not make him known. He didn't say they were wrong, did he?
No.
Look at Mark 5. Mark 5, verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. What a great record, right? Mark 9. Verse 7. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Man, this stuff is so simple. Verse Mark 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest me that? Good. There is none good but one, that is God. That is the record that we read before. And we're going to read, you know, we may come across some of those. But again, I was just going through all of these in order. Mark 10, 39. And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said to them, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with all shall you be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And as we read in the other record, that's the Father that's doing that, right? Mm-hmm. Scripture buildup. So, Mark 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, am I right? Yeah. Having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like unto it. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. I don't know if you've ever read this book. This is Christ Before Creeds. I'd like to read you something in it. It's really interesting. This is a gentleman who was an Orthodox priest that wrote this book. He was a committed Trinitarian. So it's a really good read. Joe Siminski gave it to me to read and thought it was really good. I just want to read a section here, because it goes through history. It goes through how the Trinity became into being hundreds of years after Christ existed on the earth and was raised from the dead and ascended, you know, in the 4th and 5th centuries. You know, this is hundreds of years later. So it goes through the history of the creeds. And I'm not going to read the creeds to you. Earl mentioned them last week, one of them. The following is a small sample of quotes written by Trinitarian scholars. Quote, it must be, and he's got references to the books that he got these quotes out of. It must be admitted by everyone who has the rudiments of a historical sense that the doctrine of the Trinity formed no part of the original message. St. Paul did not know it and would have been unable to understand the meaning of the terms used in the theological formula on which the church ultimately agreed. No responsible New Testament scholar would claim that the doctrine of the Trinity was taught by Jesus or preached by the earliest Christians or consciously held by any writer of the New Testament. It was, in fact, slowly worked out in the course of the first few centuries in an attempt to give a doctrine of God. The developed concept of three co-equal partners in the Godhead, found in later creedal formulations, cannot be clearly detected within the confines of the canon. Indeed, throughout the New Testament, while there is belief in God the Father, in Jesus the Son, and in God's Holy Spirit, there is no doctrine of one God in three persons. No doctrine of a triune God, a Trinity. I won't read. It's just a really good read. It's a short read. You can get it on Amazon. It's called Christ Before Creeds, Jeff Dubel. As we've been able to see here, just reading through the Gospels, getting a scope of what the Gospels teach, it clearly is one God. It clearly is that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. So many times, Angel Gabriel, God himself, the disciples, Peter, devil spirits, you know, the devil himself. Where was I? What verse was I in? Matt 12. Let's go to Mark 13. And I do want to get to that first verse that we talked about at the end here. Mark 13. Verse 28. Is that right?
32?
Yeah, 32. But heaven and earth shall pass away, verse 31, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, there it is, but the Father. It's talking again about Christ coming back, and it's talking about nobody knows when that is. You know, the Son himself doesn't know. Okay? Isn't that great? So 13, Mark 14. Mark 14, verse 61. This is Jesus Christ with Caiaphas. The high priest. But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. Isn't that great? Why not just believe him? Right? I know you do. And Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Whew. Won't that be a great day? The high priest asked him straight up, Are you the Son of the Blessed? And he said, I am. Why not take Jesus Christ's word for it? Mark 15, again, the centurion, 15:37-39. It's the same record. The centurion is saying it. Let's go over to Luke before I run out of time. Luke 1, 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city named Nazareth to a virgin espoused, etc. Let's skip down. Behold, thou shalt, verse 31, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. Boy, why not just believe what the angel Gabriel said? That's what he should be called, the Son of the Highest, right? Luke 2:49, Jesus Christ being about his Father's business. Luke 3:21. Same thing here. God saying, this is verse 22, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like as a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I'm well pleased. That's that one. I've got Luke 18:18. I'm not sure what that is. Let's take a look. There wasn't as many in Luke. But 18:18, which one is that? And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? Okay. So we read that. So there's only one verse in Matthew, Mark, and Luke that even is questionable about who Jesus Christ is, and it was that one that we read. So let's read it again. Matthew 1:23. Go back there. So far, let's go to 22. Let's pick it up. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. So it's the prophet speaking. And you can find this record in Isaiah, I think, 7. 14. Emmanuel is spelled differently. It's spelled with an I. But this is a prophecy. And she shall bring forth a son that shall, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, saying, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And the name, again, I mentioned, it's a Hebrew name, Emmanuel, and it means God is with us. So the question really is, how was God with us when Jesus Christ was present? How was he with us when Jesus Christ? This is a symbolic name, and you know, there's other ones in the Bible, like Wonderful Counselor assigned to Jesus Christ, Prince of Peace. Their attributes, their service to mankind. You know, these do not indicate that Jesus is God any more than Joshua's name means that he was God, or that Barbara means, you know, every barber that you meet is barbaric, you know, which is what that means. But that's not, you know, the real question is, how was God with us when Christ was here? Well, look at 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 19. You probably know where I'm going. To wit, that God was in Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That's how God was with mankind when Christ was here. God was in Christ. That's what it says right there. Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Look at Acts 10. Acts 10, this is another nice one. Look at 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, and you can too. I can too. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was what?
With him.
God was with Jesus Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And that's how, that's what that means, that verse means. You know, it's so important to not just take a verse and run with it and not consider the whole scope, and consider, you know, all the verses that pertain unto the same subject. And you know, when you do that, you clearly see that one verse sticks out like a sore thumb in all those many, many other verses. And, you know, the angel Gabriel and God and the devil and the devil spirits and the disciples and Peter and who else? The centurion, the chief priest. You know, all of those people, they knew that Jesus Christ was God's son. And so the Bible has to fit. If it's God's word, it has to fit. So, you know, why is there a need to believe anything more than what the scriptures actually say? Why risk saying more than the scriptures actually say? Why cling to a false doctrine, the Trinity, that history confirms evolved over time by councils and creeds and was put in place hundreds of years after Christ? Instead, we can rest assured that if we simply call Jesus Christ the same thing he called himself, the same thing the angel Gabriel called him, the same thing God called him, the disciples, Peter, we will be in a much better position on solid ground and on higher ground. So, thank you.